period about the handling of the police chief, the withdrawal of the contract, and how that came about, and why that, not why it was done, but how the decision was arrived at, and the support that council members had once they heard what we all heard.
Okay. Why do you feel?
Because if a bunch of people come up and start basically questioning us, attacking us, then we're in a defensive posture. Why not be proactive about it, say, look, there's a lot of questions out in the community about this. This is how this happened.
Gotcha.
Because it went down after the last meeting, so there hasn't been a public meeting with you all since I made the decision.
So we're worried that there's going to be a...
There could be tonight.
Quite a few people.
Hey, Kenny, did you get a thing on the appointment of Charlie Moore for that Hall of Justice Board? I had an email that said he was...
Chief is out there and...
Sent to you.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping. Is chief in uniform or...
And it requires your signature and the county commission, the...
That's what I'd ask.
What, president? Of the commission's signature for appointment?
I wonder if it, like, I literally am on the third new cell phone in like 4 days, so I'm not getting all my texts either.
I wonder, hey Liz, have you seen a...
Oh, no, I've not, sir.
Appointment for Charlie? Okay. I got the email from...
How's our traveler?
County lady that...
That's sore feet.
Hands the count, the third council.
How'd everything go? I meant to call you.
No problems at all.
Yeah.
Everything was right for us.
And she said it was sent here, in the mayor's signature.
I mean, we rode three trains and a few airplanes and a boat.
Let's check.
Buses.
All right. Had a good time?
Yeah, we did. We enjoyed it.
I'm jealous.
I'm done for a while.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Is there still time?
Well, we went to New York for a few days, London for a day, Rome for 3 days. Another place in Italy for 3 days, and then back to Paris for 3 days, and got on a boat and rode home.
Wow.
God, Lord.
From Europe? You sailed from Europe?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a long trip.
From Southampton to New York.
It's a long trip.
How long was that?
7 days.
That's not too bad, I guess.
And last night, no, night before last, about this time, we were in Force 8 Gale in that boat.
Wasn't that a cruise liner?
Well, it was the Queen Mary.
Oh.
But it's the last remaining actual cruise liner. It's not just a hotel on a pontoon. It was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't...
And, you know, it was a couple of weeks ago that she sent me an email. I just thought about checking. So if it was something that was signed in a file... You could have already done it.
Been a while ago.
Yeah.
I'm going to see if the guys remember.
I want to say that was related to... I don't know what it was.
And it was it, what did you say, which...
It's to appoint Charlie Moore to the Hall of Justice and Detention Center Board.
It's interesting.
Sorry.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah? Good times.
You can give me anything you don't want me to sign, right?
No.
Because you're not going to be signing.
We got...
What's the outdoor patio at the one?
They basically want to have us vacate 6 parking places.
Oh.
And
Put it right out there.
And then put it right on the parking places, yeah. The problem, as Wallace points out, is what precedent we set, it would be basically signing a public right of way to a private entity. How do you say no to somebody else if you start doing that stuff?
That came up with PDA for someone else downtown. More on Second Street.
And I don't know how other municipalities do that, because it's very common in downtown areas.
Well, they, what they could do is.
Lease it?
They could, by permit, you could just set up an op, a situation where you could apply for a permit to occupy those spaces on certain days or times.
Oh, no, they wanna like build.
Right.
Yeah, they wanna.
There's portable deck, you know, that can be put out into the street, imagine if they're like, if they wanna do all that.
Good, good.
Given the speed, it's probable. Be kinda cool to have a patio on some of those outdoor things.
Any place that's done, it's always great, you know. Yeah, but like you say, how do you, how do you say no to somebody else?
Yeah.
Look into that.
And then there are public safety issues too, as far as, you know, fire truck access and other things, so.
Yep.
Good, good, how are you?
Where's Amanda? She, oh, she's in Cheyenne, huh?
Okay, questions on the agenda? Or changes on the agenda?
To be honest with you.
So. How does everybody feel about the dispensing rooms? Do you wanna change? Liz or Bill, do you have anything you wanted to add?
What exactly is it doing then?
Okay, so we thought it might be good here in pre-session to, and you'll hear it in my report, but tonight with the dispensing room component of this liquor law change that we're presenting, and staff's here, Tracy and Carla and Pete, we're doing it in phases, and we're addressing the dispensing room portion, because we have got local businesses that are trying to finish the designs of their buildings. And in doing so, by allowing this to go forward this evening, and change from requiring a dispensing room to acquiring more of an establishment, what's the word?
Premise, right, is that what it's saying?
The building piece. It allows them to build kind of more of an open concept instead of the walls and so forth. We are doing it again in phases, and there have been questions raised, and you'll hear this, about hours of operation. That will come back later at another time when we get ready to look at components. It's a big liquor law animal to get our hands around. The age has come up, and that's been the other one that we believe might be brought up on the floor this evening. Is 18 too young to be allowing? Should it be 21? And I thought you all might have questions for our staff experts. I know that Mike Reed is planning to speak this evening about some of his concerns with the age component of what this is allowing, with who by age can be in the dispensing rooms. So we just thought if you all want to hear it, then we can talk about it. It's a good item for a pre-session.
Well, what we're doing is just mirror state statute, right? And so anything above that, all we would be doing is adding our own restrictions to it. And it does away with a dispensing room, so it used to be there had to be some kind of partition, and that was a joke. It was Les Nessman's office. You put tape on the floor and say, that's the dispensing room. And the big one then, I guess, would be 18-year-olds being allowed to be in the dispensing room. It doesn't mean they can consume alcohol.
Correct. They can serve.
And they, so an 18-year-old employee can serve alcohol. They can't consume it. You can be in the dispensing room, and you can take your family to Fire Rock right now and have babies exposed to alcohol present. I mean, it's the mirror state statute. I don't have a problem with it.
And again, we're doing it in phases, and it's a licensed building. I just checked my terminology. Not dispensing room, licensed building. And the other piece Pete had talked with the hotels about.
Was an exception.
Yes, hotels are an exception. We already have been asked by the Ramcoa, can there be wedding receptions around, and can young people be around past 10 o'clock, and a whole bunch of things related to that, and that is an exception.
It's not that they were, would be asked to leave the building because.
Oh, the entire building?
Because it's a licensed building.
Right, because that's a licensed building, so there's an exception.
An exception to the hotels, which is good to know.
Is Mike just speaking for himself as a license holder, or is he representing the Liquor Dealers Association?
No, he's speaking as himself, not representing the liquor.
He sent us an email today.
I assume their concern would be that 18-year-olds would, could start consuming, and it would be very hard to police in the dispensary.
Yes.
Okay.
And the bar manager would be, or the person operating would be subject to the demerits for contributing to a minor.
Even though they didn't give them the alcohol themselves. Yeah.
Anybody else?
I agree that we should move forward with the dispensing room as immediately to let these folks move forward with their plans.
Ward two interviews Friday, for those of you that did the doodle moodle, whatever it is that Chris loves so much.
I hate those things.
I was out of town. I'll be here for part of it, and then I'll have to leave because I have to work that night.
Okay, so it looks like we're doing 3 to 5, and do you want to tell us more about the schedule?
Three to five?
Absolutely, Your Honor, so we have 7 applicants for the Ward two vacancy. We'll do interviews from 3 to 4:30 on Friday afternoon here in Chambers. We'll start at 3, we'll do 4 interviews. Each applicant will have 10 minutes. And you'll have, I think you, the questions are right there, so I just need that feedback so I can get that sent out to them tomorrow. So we'll do 4, then we'll have a quick break, then we'll come back out there, have the other 3. Y'all will adjourn to executive session, come back in here to deliberate your choice, come back out there, let us know, and I guess you'll appoint them right then, right? That will get it out. Yeah.
Just a logistical thing on this. I don't know how we do it. Do we have a facilitator asking the questions, or are we going to do the you get question 5 and you get question 6? Yeah, I've done them both ways, and the way that works the best is basically a facilitator asks the questions you say. We can listen then and take notes and not be focusing on, okay, I'm coming up on mine. Let's, if there's follow-up questions, and then of course they would come from us, but one person not involved in the rating asks the questions, and it just frees you up from staring at your script and that kind of stuff.
Charlie.
If I remember correctly, we didn't have to do anything. They knew the questions and they just kind of rolled right through
yep.
them.
Oh, you didn't ask them?
No,
yeah.
No, they got a copy of the questions and then they just wrote
they just
their
presented it.
Their
okay.
presentation around it, and then if we had any other follow-ups, then we...
I didn't remember that either.
Yeah, I just need to email them out to all the applicants tomorrow morning or by noon tomorrow so that they have time to review and kind of prepare themselves, because 10 minutes will go by really quick when they're nervous and in front of a crowd. So, last time you guys didn't have to ask unless you had a follow-up question. They just kind of rolled through them.
Maybe I misunderstood, but weren't we advised to not do follow-up questions so that there was standardization of the process?
I think if you do a follow-up question, you have to ask that same question to everybody.
I don't necessarily agree. I think if it's a question of clarification on something, you're not gonna. I don't think you have to ask that to everybody.
So
you like, if they say
you don't remember giving us that advice, Bob, Bill.
Not in this round. I don't know.
Maybe I misremember it myself.
I think the idea was to keep. Excuse me. I'm still poisoned. I think the idea was to stay as standardized as possible, so you're comparing apples and apples,
right.
And oranges and oranges,
right.
And not going off on a tangent, one individual, the other individual doesn't have an opportunity to discuss those kind of issues. But I do think if something comes up and you want to follow up a question to a particular issue raised, I think you can do that. But not
okay.
to get completely off on a different trail.
Mm-hmm. Do we need to stay within the 10 minutes then, even with the questioning?
Well, that's just kind of a policy call for you guys.
And
I think
that seems like a fairness issue
yeah,
to me.
As much as possible.
I will be a time Nazi.
Okay.
If they're not following the questions, I will probably still guide them through the questions and try to get us done in 10 minutes.
Okay.
So if you want me to take the lead on questions for those that aren't really doing that, I'll roll as quick.
Well, if we send it out to them, and then you just tell them at the beginning, if you've got your questions, give us your spiel. I mean, that way we don't have to waste time going, what'd you say on number nine?
Yeah, I'll make it as smooth and fast as possible.
Yeah.
And fair. Okay, so everybody can make it Friday, you just have to leave early.
Or, I might have to leave early also, depending on how much we spill over, I'm going to Denver that day.
I may be a few minutes late, I have a 2 o'clock.
If we end at 4:30, I should be able to make it for at least all the interviews.
Okay.
How long are we thinking for deciding?
That night.
That night, yeah. Finish by five or unrealistic?
I know.
I think it's realistic.
Yeah, I mean, I think the last time we had 13 or something like that, and it actually was pretty smooth, and I feel like, you know, we'll get on the same page and come in here and it'll go pretty good. So I, that's how I feel, Jesse.
Right.
There'll be some that don't take their full 10 minutes, and so if, because usually you guys kind of schedule them to be here a little early just in case that occurs, so if they, somebody gets done early, we'll call the next one right in, and that way it can have as much council present as possible before we make a decision.
Great.
So. All right, anything else?
Tommy, thank you for doing all that.
You're welcome, Ray.
Yeah, I don't think I'll have us go around the table, because we can just do that out there, so anything else that you guys have?
When we go around out there, I'm gonna put out a word about Law Enforcement Week and Memorial, Law Enforcement Memorial Day yesterday, so.
Go ahead.
Thank you. For our May 23rd work session, we have cell towers that's going to be on that. I was just curious to know if we were able to also put on that work session, just any information in terms of what's required for insurance, for example, particular cell towers, I guess, and corporations being self-insured and having those amounts maybe not on there or possibly on there when it's a big corporation, for example. Just having that information for background or maybe even what other municipalities do would be helpful.
That'd be great.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, we will address that, Councilman Morgan.
Got it?
Did you make any decision about how you want to handle the public comment?
I will call on you.
Do you want to do it that way?
Yep.
Okay.
And then when you're done, I'll ask if there's anything that Ms. Liz would like to add. We'll open it up.
Okay.
One other item. So after the art walk, there's a, you know, a lot of establishments that were open. The Frontier Brewing Place in the old Wolford building was there. So just with other establishments opening around the eclipse time specifically, I was just going to pitch it to you guys in terms of what you think for the downtown area and open container laws. Or perhaps gating it off, and then, I don't know, just pitching it out there, what you think. Because you're pretty much trapped in that small establishment. There's going to be people everywhere. Maybe a bad idea to have people walking around with an open red Solo cup or whatever they have.
Well, there's current options for people to do that. You can apply for a permit and get that open container permit, and with that comes a level of security that you have to put in, depending on the hours, whether it's daytime or nighttime, based on block face.
Like having a beer garden or something.
Yeah. You, beer gardens, close a street, you can get an open container permit.
Yeah, they do it on...
They do it at Yellowstone Garage on Thursdays. It just...
Okay.
That option exists there, and it does come with some restrictions. I wouldn't say just make it general, go ahead and have an open beer like the Vegas Strip, but
right. What's wrong with that?
I like, what's wrong with it? Because everybody has this vision that the person having an open container in Casper is not impaired, having a good time, and a fun-loving person. My experience is usually impaired, looking for a fight, and trouble's brewing. So the vision of it and the reality of it seem to be a little bit different.
Right.
But
well, if they have that option, that sounds fair.
The option does exist, and then there's a permitting process, and it's not burdensome. It's just
well, the guys at Frosty's have done it for years,
mm-hmm.
with enclosure.
Lots of people do it. It's commonly used, so.
I had a question from a hospital regarding Conville access for the ambulances. And I suggested they get ahold of traffic or your office. Because they were talking about, well, like when we get a street permit, and I told them I didn't think that was what you needed there. Plate permits to block the street off. But they're gonna wanna be talking, I assume, about, they're gonna have to put some gates up to keep that street open during the eclipse to get access to the garages for the hospital. So like barriers of some kind, when the ambulance goes out, they put the barriers back, kind of a thing, so. I'm not sure exactly what they wanted, but.
They just don't want Conville closed.
Bingo, unless they've got control of it.
Closed with traffic, that would be a problem. At that intersection, that second Conville intersection too would be. And there's a park right there, so it might.
They'll be in contact with you.
And the eclipse team is here too, so, okay.
We wear many hats.
Yes.
And it may have already been covered, I don't know.
No, I hadn't heard that specifically, so that's good.
Okay. Okay, unless there's anything else, relax for a minute.
It really is.
This guy's blowing me up on Facebook, he hates me.